All right, we have the Mishnah starting on Mem Hey Amud Aleph. So yesterday we dealt with Tiklachat HaTumah, which is the process that the Nazir goes through when he is Tameh. And today we're going to deal with Tiklachat HaTahara, right, with the process for the Nazir when he becomes Tahor. There are major Girsot issues with the Gemara. In general, it seems like there might have been additions that were pulled in from the Torah Kohanim, different opinions or Igud Amris, and it's not clear that they really are different versions of the Gemara necessarily. And we shouldn't point this out. It doesn't really change very much, but just to note it when we're reading the Gemara that some things might seem repetitive or might not necessarily continue with of what we said before. All right, and then we'll move on to the actual cutting of the hair of the Nazir. All right, so now we start. Tiglachat HaTahara. How does Tiglachat HaTahara work? Ketzad. Hayami bi shlosh behemot. He brings three animals, meaning the three karbanot that come. What are the three karbanot you bring when you are going for Tiglachat HaTahara? That's a chatat, an ola, and a shlamim. Right, the three karbanot. Shochet et ha-shlamim. And then he shechts the shlamim. Umegaleach aleihem divir Rabbi Yehuda. So he shechts first the shlamim, and he cuts his hair on the shlamim. So generally, the general principle is that a chatas always goes first, meaning that we have a general principle when you have a carbon chatas and another carbon, we bring the like a chatas and ola, we bring the chatas first. So despite the fact that there's a chatas ola and shlamim here, and you would have presumed that the chatas goes first, nevertheless, the shlamim goes first. Now, why does the shlamim go first? So that the Rosh says, the kevun de megaleach al shlamim did hoshi kadmo. Right, that if you're going to shave, if he's going to, another is going to cut his hair on that korban, we're going to ask him to move that karban forward, or make that the first karban that he brings in. So even though chatas usually goes first, here the shlamim is going to be the first karban. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Right, he says no. He takes the cutting on the chatat. Shachatat kodemet b'chol makom. Right, so rather than have him cut his hair on the shlamim and move the shlamim to be first, the normal order of karbanot is that the chatas goes first. If the chatas goes first, then he should cut his hair on the chatat. V'mgileach alachat echad mishloshtan. If he cuts his hair on one of the three, yatsa, it works. Meaning any three of the karbanot are sufficient to have his hair cut on. V'shimu lo mir mer, v'kimu v'emot lo perish. Perish haru'uya l'chatat tikrav chatat, l'la tikrav l'la l'shlamim tikrav shlamim. So this we saw earlier. Gemara Mishnah earlier in the Gemara, but that if you bring three behemot and do not define what these behemot are, by Nazir it's obvious what the behemot are. Because each of these behemot come with a different type of animal and a different age, and different age of animal, so it's obvious when you have three behemot. If a Nazir would come and separate out his three behemot, we'd know right away that which was the Ola, which was the Shlamim, and which was the, right, the Chatat. And that's because of the different categories. For instance, a nechatas has to be a kibsa, right? It's a nekeva, and it's a female, right, sheep, it's a ewe, bachnata, has to be 1 year old. Whereas the ola has to be a male, zachar ben shnata, has to be a 1 year old male. So you know for sure the female would be the 1 year old female is a shlamim, the 1 year old male is a ola, and
1 year old female is a chatas.
Thank you. And the 1 year old Ola is the Ola. And then a Shlamim comes as an Ayil Ben Sheshanim. Right? So it's already has to be a 2 year old, right? Ayil. So here you know by definition. So if he just says that these animals be Hela 02, it's as if he defined each one of these animals which Korban they belong to.
Okay.
No, that's a good question. Today the Gemara will deal with it. That might be the next mission of the Gemara is going to deal with that exactly today. But let's assume no. All right, the basic or the Chachamim believe no. At the end of today's Gemara, we're going to have three Tanoim, and they will disagree about exactly that point. Tarabana. Vigilech Hanazir Petach Omoi. That when the Nazir comes to cut his hair at the end of Nazirizot, it says Viglach Nazir Petach Omeid Rosh Nizro Lakach. It's our Rosh Nizro. Natan Aleish puts it on the fire. Shetachat Zevach Hashlamim under the Zevach Hashlamim. Question is, where does he cut his hair? Right, so that it says here, or the pasuk seems to indicate, Vigilak et Vigilak Nazir Petach Olmoed. Where's Petach Olmoed? The Olmoed is the Kodesh, the Heicha. So it sounds like Petach Olmoed is that he's taking his haircut right in front of the Petach Olam, right in front of the Heicha. Should be right, set up the barbecue right there, and he's getting his haircut right in front, right by the Mizbeach, right in front of the doors of the Heicha. When we say Petach Ol Moed, what's the point of Petach Ol Moed? Is Petach Ol Moed come to teach us that he cuts his hair over the Shlamim? Why? Because Shenemar, the term Petach Ol Moed is used by the Karbanot, by Shakotu, Petach Ol Moed, by the Karban Shlamim. Specific term, Petach Ol Moed, is a reference by Shlamim. There it teaches us by the Shlamim that the doors of the Heichal have to be opened in order to bring the Shlamim. But it has to be Petach Ol Moed. So this term Petach Ol Moed, is that a reference to Shlamim? Or is that a reference, or the other possible that's how Merv Shlamim, Petach Ol Moed Mamash. What does it mean? Petach Ol Moed means literally, in front of the Ol Moed, he has to get his haircut. Amartim Kain, Derech Bizayon. Right? If you say that, then that is a Derech Bizayon. Meaning that is not appropriate. To cut one's hair in the Azarah before the Heichal, the Kodesh, is inappropriate. It's not the proper conduct for a Beis HaMikdash. It's not a proper conduct even in a shul. So why would you, that's Derech Bizayon, we wouldn't allow him to do that. And here the Gersa says, Rabbi Yoshi Omer, others have Rabbi Yoshi, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, a lot of Gersa seem to read that this is actually part of the words of the Tanakhama. So this is actually a continuation of the Tanakhama's explanation. How do you know it's Derech Bizayon? So we'll read Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Einu Tzarech, Hariyam Ra Torah, for the Torah already tells us, Lo Taleb Malot HaMizbechi, right, that there's a requirement that the Kohen or the Mizbech does not have stairs there, because you can't walk up the stairs. That would not be considered Derech Kavod in the Mikdash for him to extend his feet and to have his ankles show in the Mikdash. And therefore, if that is already considered Derech Bizayon, Kavachomer, or that's considered inappropriate, Kavachomer the Derech Bizayon, certainly a haircut, right, is inappropriate to be brought or to be done inside the Mikdash. So based on that, right, what would be the Petach Ol Moed? Petach Ol Moed means that he cuts his hair by the Shlamim, or over the Shlamim, the Korban Shlamim, and not literally in front of Petach Ol Moed. Where does he cut his hair? That's a good question that we have to deal with in a second. From this, it sounds like he cut his hair anywhere, just not in front of the Mikdash. I mean, there's no limitation to where he may cut his hair. All right, we're going to skip the brackets here. Right, these brackets look like they're from the source behind them, right, not that were inserted in from the Gemara. And then we have Rabbi Yitzchak Omer. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Eino tzarech." He doesn't need this. We don't need this limud. Hari Omer v'lakach et se'ar rosh nizno v'natan aleish. So it says that he takes his hair. We read that passage before. After he cuts his hair, what does he do with the hair? He places it on the fire underneath, right? What korban? Tachat zevach hashlamim. Mein she'eino mechusar el lekicha v'netina. All he required to do is take and place. What does that mean, take or place? You know, as soon as he cuts his hair, he's able to put it underneath the shlamim or cook the shlamim. Where is the shlamim cooked? Right, the shlamim is cooked in the lishkat hanizirim, cooked in one of the four rooms that were on the corners of the Ezrat Nashim. It was outside the Ezrat. The Ezrat Nashim had four corners there. One was the Lishkat Eitzim, one was the Lishkat Nezirim, one was the Lishkat Nashim, and Lishkat, there's a machlokas between Midos and Tamid about what the fourth one was. But it was Lishkat Mitzorayim. I don't remember. All right. I don't remember which one it is, but there's four rooms. They have four rooms there. So one of them is Lishkat Nezirim where they used to cook the Shlamim. So if he cuts his hair in front of Petach Ol Moed, then not as only does he have to lakach v'natan, he has to take his hair and then place it under the dough, he actually has to get his hair from Petach Ol Moed all the way to where he's cooking his shlamim. You have to say, shmakusha l'kicha hava'ah v'netina. Right? So therefore, it can't be that he literally cuts his hair in front of the Ol Moed, because then he can't do v'lakach v'natan. He can't directly take his hair and place it under the shlamim. He must first lakach, then hava, bring it to where it is, so maybe, and then place it. Now time to place it. So the next pasuk, or the end of the pasuk, is ma'ariv to you that you can't literally take, right, you can't take Petach Ol Moed literally, because then he won't be able to complete the second half of the pasuk, which is actually getting his hair underneath the fire to cook the shlamim. Now, ikid amrei.
So, What in a tzarich?
You don't need this limud, that petach homein min shlamim, or derech bizayom, one of these two. You don't need those limudim to teach you that petach homein, he doesn't literally cut his hair in front of petach homein. He says the pasuk itself teaches you that because, but the fact that he has to place it under the cooking, or he has to use it to cook the shlamim with, means that he needs to be where he cooks the shlamim. Where he cooks the shlamim is not petach homein. And that's how he knows that petach homein cannot be taken literally. Alright, now Igad Amrei, again, here, again, we have these, Girsa issues, whether this is Igad Amrei, which is, this is the same as the Lishna Kama. Again, Igad Amrei, Visakal Mir Bishlamim, Akutum Ber, Atom Mir Bishlamim, Akutum Ber, Inel Petach Omboed, Mamash, Tamanomer Lakakat Sa'ar Rosh Nizro, Makom Shem Bashel, Shem Hayam Galeach. Alright, it's exactly what we just read. That's where he cooks it, that's where he cuts it. Because of this pasuk they said before, so I don't know, right, that's the problem that the Rishonim have here with the Girsa, is why is there an Igad Amrei? This is the same of Yitzchak that we just read before. Doesn't seem very different. Right, Nazir, so now, Rabbi Lezer, Abba Chanan Omer Mishum Rabbi Lezer, V'gilecha Nazir Petach Omoed. Kol Zman She'ein Petach Omoed Petuach, Eino Megaleach. So Rabbi Lezer has a different limud. Where is Petach Omoed? Petach Omoed is the same limud that we have by Shlamim. Why does it say that the Shlamim have to be brought Petach Omoed? That means that the Omoed has to be open. The Petach Omoed must be open. And therefore, the Shlamim is only kosher to be brought while the doors of the Heichal are open. When the doors to the Ulam or the Heichal are open, then you can bring the Karban Shlamim. When they're not, you can't. So the same thing here. Rabbi Lezer says, don't take Petach Omoed literally, that he has to cut his hair in front of Omoed, but learn it the same way we learn Petach Omoed by Shlamim. That there's a requirement that the doors of the Omoed be open. It doesn't tell you where he needs to cut his hair. It just tells you that the doors of the Omoed, that it's only kosher to cut his hair while the doors of the Omoed are open. Now we have the one exception to all these limudim here, which is Rav Shimon Shizuri. Rav Shimon Shizuri, Omer, Vigilach HaNazir, Petach Omoed, Velo Nizira. You cut the Nazir's hair in front of the Omoed, and not the Nazirah. Why not the Nazirah? Shema Yitzgaruba Pirchei Kuna. Maybe the young Kohanim will either be attracted or, right, make fun of her, meaning that they'll be, right, inappropriate behavior on behalf of the younger Kohanim. We're worried about that. Now, based on Rav Shimon Shizuri's problem, he says that what's the problem of cutting the hair Petach Omoed? Shema is garuba perchei kuna, which means for a man, Nazir, which does not have that problem, where will he cut his hair? Petach Omoed. So Rav Shimon Shizuri is the one who seems to say, right, surely that you have to put it in front of you, have to actually cut the hair, lifnei petach ol moed. So that's an interesting that he has that, and he says that the woman cannot. Now is that really true about a woman? Why are we worried about the Kohanim getting all worked up about a woman being there, or getting her hair cut there? What's the difference? Why would you do that? Some though, the Dvarecha Sota Tochiach. Don't we have that? Don't we have next Masechta? About a Sota. By the Sota, they do all sorts of things. They uncover her hair, they rip her Vigadim, all these things. Why do we allow that to happen? What about the Pirchei Kun over there? So Mara says, Dichtavi Yemida Lefne Hashem Velo Chai Shinon. And over there, we don't worry about Shem Yitzgaruba Pirchei Kuna. Excuse me, the Gemara in Sota says, we don't worry about this issue of the Yetzer Hara, of the Pirchei Kuna getting the better of them. Why don't we worry about it over there? So that the Gemara says, wait a minute, there's a big difference. By the Sota, what's the whole process done to do? Or what is the whole process intending to do there is to be minavelota, right? To make her disgusting, to degrade her, so that she'll break down and admit before we feed her the, or make her drink, the mesota. So over there, the whole point is to make her feel ugly, not make her feel good. Over here, there's no requirement to make the nizira, you know, ugly, or for her not to feel, you know, in her best, or in her finest, to come here. So it's much different. And that's what the Gemara answers up. Shemin Gerbacha, Amar Lahen, Zuko Chalatu Pokeset, by the Nizira, she can put on makeup, she can, right, Paseket, she can either color her eyes, or,
braid her hair.
Right, braid her hair would be a problem. That's what Rashi says in other places. Rashi says Pokeset means braid her hair, and Tosis argues, excuse me, here's a good proof that it's not, because she doesn't have any hair left.
Irrelevant.
Right, because her hair is gone. Now.
Like when she came in.
When she came in, you're saying that it was braided already. Okay.
Although, definitely there is the side of her afterwards, or it's the side of her
as she comes in. Right. It sounds like, but, alright, it sounds like Shem. I would say Shemi's Karuba Pirkei Kuna is while the whole process is going on. But fine, Pokeset, she's all dressed up, Right? So they're to come in for this. For zoo, ain't a kochel kesed. The whole point of the sulta, again, is to be minavel ota, and therefore we don't, she has to come with her makeup, we don't let her come dressed in her finest, we rip her clothing. All that is done to be minavel ota, not to make her pretty. So there's a big difference. So here we have Shemek Garuba, where we don't have by sulta. And according to Rav Shimon ben Zuri, the Nazir must cut Petach Ol Moed. It's just a Nazirah that it is not because of this problem of Shemrin Tzkaruba Pirchei Kuna. That's the two opinions. Now, we're going to get to, in the Gemara, where does the Nazir? According to all these opinions, all these Amoraim, we say that he doesn't cut Petach Ol Moed. Where can he cut? Can he cut at home and bring his hair? Or does he need to cut somewhere else, or in Yerushalayim, in the Mikdash? Where does he have to cut his hair? That's the question we have to answer.
The Eish of the Shlomim is not the Eish of the Mizbeach?
No. This is cooked, this is separate. The Eish of the Mizbeach is used for things that are belong to the Mizbeach, that they put on the Mizbeach. The Shlomim is eaten, right? The portion of the Shlomim. The portion of the Shlomim that's eaten must be cooked, is cooked privately. Over here, it happens to be for Nizirim. They cooked it in the Mikdash, because they have the other requirements, which we're going to see in a second, but the other requirements of taking the the Kohen has to do Tznufa. The Kohen is Zroa B'Sheilah. The cooked zroa he has to take min ayel b'kalat matzachat min asal kik matzachat. Next mission, Natanah kapei nazir, achar kikulei nazir. So you have to do a tznufa. One part of the tznufa includes the zroa b'sheilah, the cooked zroa. So therefore, you have to cook it. But that's done on a private basis. That's your meat. You do whatever you want. The Kohanim's meat or the balim, this year the meat of the balim, they have to do it privately. It doesn't have to do with anything with the ishim isbech. All right. It's actually restricted from going on the Mizbeach.
But there was something that was going on the Mizbeach.
Yeah, from the Shlamim, the Chalavim go on to the Mizbeach from the Shlamim. Alright. And the Dam, obviously, was sprinkled around. Alright. Hayat Hotel, say, I roast Nizro, umishaleach tachat adod. So now he takes his hair and he throws it under the fire. V'imkileach b'midinah. And he cuts his hair not in Yerushalayim, but outside, at home. Then, lo haya mishaleach tachat adot. He does not throw it under the fire. That comes to when he is taking his, cutting his hair for his tara. Aval b'tiglachat atumah, lo haya mishaleach tachat adot. So that was your question. By tiglachat atumah, he doesn't throw it under any karban. There it would be either under the most likely karban to choose. There's, for tiglachat atumah, you have three karbanot. What are they? Ola, chatat, and asham. So the most likely candidate is the asham, because that also has meat that's eaten by the Kohanim, right? But, or the other possibility would be the chatat. The chatat, the bird, has a little bit, you know, meat that you would eat, so that chatat. So those are two possibilities by tiglachat atumah. But here the Tanakam of this Mishnah says what? That out of all these possibilities, tiglachat atumah has no hair is placed under the karbanot. Right? Tiglachat atara, we differentiate it, he cuts his hair outside of the Mikdash, outside of Yerushalayim, the Medina, depending where you think Medina is, right, very good. So depending where you think Medina is, right, and whereas if you cut it inside the Mikdash or in the Azara, then you would place it Takat Hashlamim. That's the Tanakama. Now we have Rabbi Meir Omer, Hakol Mishlachim Takat Adot. All hair of a Nazir gets placed under the Karban. Chutz, one exception, min Atameh should be Medina Bilvad. Only a Tameh who is outside the Mikdash does not place his hair under the Karban. That means a Nazir Tahor that's cutting his hair places it under the Karban, whether he cut his hair in the Mikdash or whether he cut his hair outside of the Mikdash. Whereas a Nazir Tameh, only if he cut it in the Mikdash places it under the Karbanot, but outside the Mikdash he does not put it under the Karban. Now, the Gemara never discusses why, or what's the difference. Why is it that chutz min amidina, right, that outside of the Mikdash there should be any difference with his hair? He wants me to say that petach ol moed is not literal, right? We said petach ol moed doesn't mean no requirement of cutting it right in front of the ol moed. Then why is there a limitation to where he cuts his hair? The Torah never prescribes an area to cut your hair. So here, the Rosh points out, this is a very interesting Rosh, the Rosh points out that, wait, you had a drusha before, that what? When it says, V'glachan azir petach ol moed Rosh Nizro, then it says, V'lakach etzar Rosh Nizro v'natan al eish. So the limud we had was v'lakach v'natan. Something that's only missing taking and placing is the hair that can be used. From there we learned that it can't be literally in front of ol moed. The Rosh says, that also teaches you it can't be out in the Medina. Because the chisaron of doing it in petach ol moed is the hava'ah, bringing it to where the shlamim is being cooked. So too, the chisaron in cutting it in the Medina is outside, which here would sound like outside Yerushalayim, because a shlamim is entitled to be eaten cooked or done anything with it inside of Yerushalayim, in that the limitations for Shlamim, as opposed to other Kodshei Kodshim, which their limitation is the Hazarah, right here the limitation for Shlamim is Yerushalayim. So Medina here would sound like Chutz Yerushalayim. So outside of Yerushalayim would also be Chaser Hava, meaning that you'd have to now bring it. Not, you can't just Velakach Benatan, that you have it here and then you place it down, right? But you must Ben Hava bring it. So the same Chiseron it has by being done in front of Ol Moed, be the same Chiseron of doing it outside of either Yerushalayim or outside the Azarah, right? That Hava, Chiseron Hava. And that's where the Rosh learns over here. That is the reason why the Chachamim require only to say when you cut your hair in the Mikdash or near the cooking of the Shlamim, do you place the hair under the Shlamim? All right, now...
Yesterday we learned that he cuts it on the 7th and brings his korbanos on the 8th, right?
Right.
So, and in between that time, he couldn't go to the Mikdash yet, right?
Right, he couldn't enter the Mikdash, right?
So,
but where in the Mikdash? You have to know where in the Mikdash you can't enter, right? You can't go to Shai Niknor. The place where they cooked the Nazir was in the Ezrat Nashim, where he was entitled to be. Right? So the Nazir Tameh is entitled to be there. Number two is, that's only a Zav, right? A Nazir Tameh can actually... God bless you. But a Nazir Tameh does not have Tumah Yotzei Migufo. Tumah from him is not Tumah that actually is emitted from his body. Because of that, he is equivalent of a Tameh Mace, and a Tameh Mace can enter the Mikdash just like a Mace can enter the Mikdash. So the Nazir does not have that problem. Okay? Alright, now, the Rebbe says, Matel Sarvos Show, and there's no, so it says he takes the hair of his head. Now, the Rebbe Tanur Rabbanan, Bakakak Notela Tarotiv. He takes the sauce, or some of the gravy of the Shlamim, Notena Laseyar Rosh Nizro, places it on the hair, and then the Mishalech Takadadot Shlashamim. So there's something missing in the Mishnah. There's a little, you know, insert in the Mishnah that wasn't there, which is the Mishnah just says he cuts his hair and places it under the fire to cook the Shlamim. Here, we have a brisa which suggests that not only does he cut his hair, then place it under a korban, he has to actually take some of the gravy from the shlamim itself, right? And place it under the korban. So not only does he have to place his hair, but part of the gravy of the shlamim underneath. Why is that? Alright, we'll read in a sec. The Gemara is going to bring the pasuk to prove that in a second, but now the brisa continues. Vim shilach takan adon shel chatat v'asham yatsa. He places it under the fire of the chatas and the asham, then he's yotzei. So it says, asham benazir tehor miyika. Wait a minute, chatas exists. Chatas and shlamim exist by a nazir tehor, and they have meat that is eaten, chatas and shlamim. Ola is out of the picture because there's nothing eaten by an ola, so there's nothing to talk about to cook. Right, but a chatas and a shlamim at least exist by a nazir tehor, but asham, that's a korban that belongs to a nazir tameh. So Amar Rava, Achi Kamar, V'im Nazir Tamei, Mishalayach Takan Adot Shel Hashem, Yatsa. If a Nazir Tamei places it under the Hashem, then he's Yotzei. So that's a basic statement we'll have to get back to, but it sounds from here that a Nazir Tamei also puts hair under the Karban.
It can also be in the Chatzchila, he doesn't.
He doesn't have to, but if he does, but Yatsa is a term. Why does the Yatsa mean that he has some obligation to do it, right? Yatsa implies that it's not like if he wants to, there's no downside, right? Yatsa seems to say, well then why doesn't it say, right, Chatzchila? Why is he only saying in the Lashon B'dieved? Good question. Not emulate. So where are these words from? So not emulate is going back to the sauce. How do you know that the shlamim? We take some of the rotev of the shlamim and place it under the dough. Amar Rava Makra, Asher Takat Zerach Shlamim. Mizivcho Yehi Takdav. It says in the pasuk, right? Where does it say? Lakachet Sa'ar Rosh Nizro in a tunnel ish. The air puts in the fire. Asher Takat Zerach Shlamim. That's under the Zerach Shlamim. Right, so what does that mean? What's the limud here? Sher taka, it sounds like he places the hair on the fire that's under the shlamim. What's under the shlamim? The fire. Right, the fire is under the zevach shlamim. How do they learn from this? That you have to have some of the shlamim underneath. So Tosfos says, why is it that you put it on? Where is the, what's the limud here? So it says, taka zevach shlamim. Tosfos says, mi tura, to Zevach, from the extra lashon Zevach, we learn that out here. Because it could have just said Takat Hashlamim. Why did they say Takat Zevach Hashlamim? So Takat Zevach Hashlamim comes to teach you that not only is the Takat referencing the hair, but it's Takat Zevach Shlamim. Put the Zevach under the Shlamim. So how do you put the Zevach under the Shlamim? You take a portion of the Shlamim and place it underneath. Whereas the Mefarish in the Rosh learn otherwise. That what they learned it out, the Misamach, Zavach, Zebach, the Takat, the Ashina and Takat Ashkamim, he came in a Zebach. Right, so they learn out, not that there's an extra Lashon Zebach, but the word Takat, being next to the word Zebach, teaches you, right, that you put it, Takat Ashlamim, you taint Zebach. That you place it under the Shlamim, you place the Zebach. Either way, it's playing on the word Zebach here, that to place a portion of the Zebach underneath it. Now, the question is, why don't you put in some of the meat? Why are you putting the sauce? Just take a piece of the Shlamim and throw it underneath. So there the Rosh says, right? I had a rota. Why? The mina zevach atzmo iyachshav lisrof. Kos manchu roi la'achila. Since it's roi la'achila, the basar is roi la'achila, you can't be maksiv kochim. And since you can't be maksiv kochim, right, you can't allow you to place a piece of the actual kochim underneath, the meat of the kochim underneath.
And the rotev isn't kochim.
Right, so the rotev is interesting. So the rotev has a status, because it's part of the tam, it has the tam of basar, it has a status like the shlamim, but it may not have, it's interesting, it might have the din of the shlamim that it will go posel when the shlamim goes posel, but it may not have the same requirement of the shlamim that it may, you can't be maksiv. It means that the requirement not to be maksiv kochim might be literally in kochim themselves, not necessarily
a
tabshul shel kochim. Although that's not so clear, because we've seen other places, like we don't want to be lo mi via the kochim that they psul. We want to don't bring kochim to the day psul. We even say that we don't want to bring anything that's involved with the kochim the day psul. If you have it cooked or something else, we don't accelerate the tam that going to bring the day psul.
Also so, break the pots.
Right, the tam that's in the pots, but that's just a psul afterwards. That's fine, because that has tam ki ikar. That tam will make a puzzle afterwards. That'll oser. Whether it's the requirement of no matzah kochim, whatever. Either way, even that, you can say, even if you say that the rotav is, has the requirement of not being matzah kochim, you can say that's a lesser piece. It's clear that the basar is a much more ikar aspect. Right, even if you say tam ki ikar is still more than the tam. Right, and therefore to throw the basar kochim underneath is much more, you know, much worse than throwing the rotav underneath. So that's the compromise, let's throw the rotav. Now, how do we know with the Nazir Tahor? I'm supposed to put it under the Shlamim. It explicitly says Zevach Shlamim in the Pasuk. How do we know if he puts it under the Chatat that it works? My time, Amakra, Zevach, the Rabot at the Chatat. Use the word Zevach to include Chatat, so Zevach and Shlamim. So, Vasham. I'm sorry, the rabbi said a chatos to Hashem, to include a chatos and an Hashem. Va'afike l'hai zevach mirotev. Right? We just learned this word zevach to teach us that you place the sauce underneath with it. So this is why Tosfos probably learned the word zevach was the limud, because here the Gemara is saying we have the word zevach twice. Right? And the Farish and the Rosh go different from the word takat rather than the word zevach, but they still need the word zevach, because it's saying takat zevach, so they still are using the word zevach here. Alright. Imkein lemakra mirotev ashlamin. If you wanted to say, place the part of the Shlamim underneath, they could have used the word Rotev. My Zevach, Shlamim Yirah, the Rabot Chatat V'Hasham. They put Chatat V'Hasham. V'Emakul Chatat V'Hasham. Why did you say the word Zevach? Just teaches you that a Chatat V'Hasham qualified for putting the hair underneath. Hudata. So how do you have the limud of putting the sauce underneath? Then came a lema Shlamim, V'Zevach. My Zevach HaShlamim. Right? Why don't you just say the Shlamim and the Zevach? What is the term Zevach HaShlamim? Comes to teach you why the Zevach before the Shlamim? To teach you that also that the zevach, a portion of the zevach, must be takat the shlamim. Shlamim not karta, you can learn out both things from here. So you have two limudim from here. One is that a portion of the korban must be underneath, along with the hair. And number two is, not only if you place the hair underneath the shlamim, does it qualify, but even if you place it under the chatat, and possibly the Hashem here, but the Hashem would be for a Nazir Tameh if he places it underneath.
So I understand that limud. Originally, we could have learned it referring to two separate entities, Shlamim v'Zevach, implying directly two separate entities. Since we imply it as one whole entity,
That teaches you not only the limud of Zevach, which is another entity besides the Shlamim, but also that a portion of the Zevach must get underneath the Shlamim. And it's not only there to teach you about another karban, it's also to teach you there's some portion of takat zevach.
Okay.
It must be underneath. Right now we're going to have the slew of opinions about where you put your hair, or whose hair needs to be where. Tanrabana. Right, this is the price. Akola yum shachim takat adot. Everybody puts their hair under the fire, chutz, Mitameish gilach b'midina. Except for the Tamei Nazir, who cuts outside, it's called outside of Yerushalayim or outside the Ezara, right? He cuts it outside that area. He is restricted from placing the name. Yunesha Saroni Kvar, because his hair is buried. Different Rabbi Meir. That's where Rabbi Meir is found in our Mishnah, right? Rabbi Meir said the same thing in our Mishnah, that all hair ends up under the Korbanot, except for the hair of a Nazir Tamei, that's outside the Medina. There, because he has to bury his hair. Where do we know he has to bury his hair? That says Vitzarchian. Says, I don't know. It says that it's found in Tmura, but he says there's no reason given why he has to bury his hair outside. And what about his hair is Kadosh, right? It's almost like they have Kodshim Chutz LeMikdash that became Tamei, that you burn it on that Makom. Right, that's a general concept by Kodshim. When you take Kodshim outside the Mizbeach, Kodshim become Psul, you have to burn them in the place that they were required to be eaten. But if you take Kodshim outside of the Mikdash, outside the area where they're supposed to be, or outside Yerushalayim, right, do you have to bring them into those areas again to burn them, or to rid yourself of them? That might be a question whether they're still Tahor or they're Tameh. So there are opinions that when it's Tameh, you burn it on the spot, and you don't bring it back in. It's possible when a Nazir is Tameh, and it's his hair that's supposed to be burned on the Kodshim, we look at it like that, like the normal, like real Kodshim. And when it comes to that, where it's so far removed from the Mikdash already, we tell you to burn it on the spot. That would be burning. Here, Nikvar, he doesn't need to burn it, he can bury it as sufficient. Right? Because there's no Takala, there's no Kiddushah, inherent Kiddushah necessarily in the hair. As opposed to Kodshim, where there's inherent Kiddushah in the Kodshim, and people eat it, it would be a big problem, right? So therefore you burn it to rid yourself versus burying it. It's just a suggestion, but Tosas here leads to the Tzarchi on why it needs to be buried. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Yehuda says, Tahorim kan v'kan v'shalchim, Tameim kan v'kan lo yishmachal v'shalchim. It's divided along the lines of Tahor and Tameh. If you are Tameh, then you do not, right, you do not bring it under the Karban, no matter where you cut your hair. If you are Tahor, right, then you cut your hair, no matter where you cut your hair, whether in Medina or in Mikdash or Yerushalayim, there you do put your hair under. So it's not nothing to do with where you cut your hair, it has to do with what type of nazirut you're completing here. Is it Nazir Tum'ah or Nazir Tahara? That's the determining factor. So Rabbi Yehuda is not found in our Mishnah, and he's not any depends upon our Mishnah. The last one is Chachamim Omrim, Hakol Lo Hayu Mishalchim Tachat HaDod. Nobody places their hair under the dod, Chutz Min HaTahor Shel Mikdash. Except for the Tahor who cuts his hair in the Mikdash. Right? Mitnei Shenaseh K'mitzvato. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Cut your hair in the Mikdash, place it under the Shlamim, which is what's included in the Shlamim. Openly in the Pasuk says you put it under the Shlamim. And that's the only one who has it under, that's the only hair that is placed, Tachat HaDod, for the cooking. And this is the Tanakh Chachamim, or the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah. All right, we'll just start the Mishnah, and then we'll continue tomorrow with the Gemara. They cook the shlamim or shulkan. Shulkan here is overcooking. So that either means that they cooked it and left it medium rare, or shulkan, he likes it well done. Shulkan in general is machlokas in Gemara Pesachim, what the word shulkan means. With the Easter, there's an Easter too. Be shalek the carbon pesach, and over there the Rishonim disagree about whether shalek means to cook overcook or to cook beyond or to undercook. Right, shalek might be just to undercook. Generally, in other places throughout the Shas, when we've seen the word shalek, it generally means to be overcooked.
Yeah, it
means to boil, but how much does it mean to shalek as opposed to bishul?
So it's always boiling.
Right, it's boiling, but why? How is it different than bishul? Does it mean that it's more than bishul, or is it less than bishul? So there in Pesachim, there's a difference in the Rishonim, but in general, outside of Pesachim, I've looked. Now, generally, when we found the word shalek afterwards, almost all the Rishonim interpret it to be shleka, which means overcooked, or, you know, cooked beyond. Shalgan HaKohen, Notela Taz Zeroa B'Sheila. He's always like, he takes the cooked, right, Zeroa, takes the Zeroa from the Karban, Mina Ayo, V'chala Matzat Akat, Mina Sal, Rukik Matzat Akat. Right, so the Nazir has to bring two sets of menachot, breads that come along with the karban. Right, there's two sets of ten. Right, one set is chalat matzah, and the other one is rakik matzah. So those two sets of ten, just like by a karban todah, out of when you have 40 loaves from the 10, 10, 10, the kohen gets one of those 10 loaves. So those belong to the kohen. So also over here, he'll take one of the chalat matzahat and one of the rakik matzahat. He places all this on the hand. make the palms of the Nazir. And that's why we talked about before that you need Kapei Nazir. I mean, that was one of the requirements. The ability to do the Tnufa requires Kapei Nazir. You require the actual Kapei Nazir. That's why we said before, when the person dies and his Karbanot Nazir are there, why you can't bring the Karbanot Nazir is because we're missing Kapei Nazir. We're missing the Kapei Nazir, which are an integral part of the Karbanot. And therefore, there is no Tnufa. Remember, Shlomim that's brought for a Nazir that is not there, even though that Shlomim has the din of a Shalmei Nazir, there is no Tnufa because you're missing Kapei Nazir, which is an integral part of the Tnufat HaNazir. So here we have Nazir, Kapei Nazir, fine. And then they do the wave offering, which is basically what the Pasuk says. It says, after he cooks on the Shlomim, it says, L'kacha koinah kazroa b'shilam in ayo, b'chalat matzah achat min asal, rukik matzah achat, natana kapeh nazir, achakit kalkoat nazir, v'nipo tam ha-koin tshufa l'fni Hashem, kodesh u l'koin, achazeh tshufa l'shul kachuma. So these are gifts, in addition to what normally comes out of a Shlomim for a koin. What does the koin normally get from the Shlomim? He gets the chazeh tshufa, right, and shokha truma. Those are two parts of Islamim that the Kohen normally gets. So on top of that, here he gets the Zerah B'Sheila and the two chalot, which obviously aren't in a regular Islamim, but here are by the Nazir. At that point, the Nazir is able to eat, drink wine, and litamei lemitim. Now he's clear. He's cleared his Nazirot, he's done. And the Rishonim point out here, we'll see in the Gemara tomorrow, this is the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kevin Shinizrak Alav, Echad Min Adamim. No matter what, which one of the carbonotes are brought, any of the carbonotes that are brought, that is, right, matir him already. It doesn't have to be this whole process or the slamim or the whole cooking of the slamim, but any korban that is brought, as soon as the damim ends up on the mizbeach, he is now cleared to drink wine and be mitameh lemetim. Let's stop here.